Welcome to the Wisdom Coalition podcast, designed to show you how to change your mindset so you can find more joy in every aspect of your life.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets.
Joy for All Companion Pets provide joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to your aging loved ones and peace of mind for your family.
Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
Special thanks to WFMZ-TV, and thank you for listening. I'm Nancy Wertine.
And I'm Kim Howie. We invite you to experience the life-changing power of joy with us.
Well, before we get started, we just want to thank all of you for the messages and emails about our podcast. We certainly love the feedback.
Yes. And, you know, we got a lot of reaction to our podcast about change back in September.
Yeah. Because, right, that's something everybody can relate to. I don't care how old you are. It's like fall just seems like a time of change, you know? Just, I don't know if it's like left over from when you were like a kid in school or what. But
yeah, no, it definitely is. And, you know, we love to hear any comments or thoughts you might have on subjects you'd like us to cover. Drop us an email at findyourjoy@thewisdomcoalition.com.
Who came up with that great name for our email?
I think that was me.
Yeah, I think it was. findyourjoy@thewisdomcoalition.com. Love it.
It's a call to action.
Yeah, well, you know, no, I wasn't surprised when we got a lot of feedback about change because, you know what, it's just like with us all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's funny, we've been in the lockdown for so long and then kids like started back up in school. And I was like, oh, my gosh, everybody's kids look so old. Like they changed and, you know, so much. Like,
oh, my gosh, so true. And ours, too. Like, I can still hardly believe that we have adult children.
No, I can't either.
No, I keep trying to, like, you know, keep them younger. Yeah, just hold them back. Stop growing.
Yeah, you can't do it. But, you know, I think that whoever you are, and we know that things change and we know that we want them to stay the same, you know, really what we talk about at the Wisdom Coalition all the time is really trying to create the reality and the life that you want, you know, taking that time to figure that out and then trying to reach for it.
Yeah.
You know, we set career goals and we set financial goals. Mm-hmm. We don't set joy goals, you know,
No, you're right. And, you know, we also talk about the fact that, you know, what you look for in life is what you see, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, if you go about your day looking for reasons to be angry or annoyed, which it seems like a lot of people do, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to find them. There's lots of reasons and things going on in the world that can make you angry or upset. But, you know, the great news is if you flip that around and you spend your time searching for joy, you can find just as many reasons, if not more, to support your desire to be joyful.
Yeah. You know, I saw this quote one time and it was like, are you looking for reasons to support your negative attitude?
Mm.
And, you know, you ever do that? Like you're looking for a certain kind of car and suddenly like all you see is that kind of car.
Yeah.
You know, on the roads, like all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's one.
Right.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like once you take that moment to recognize what you're focusing on, is when it becomes so important. And, you know, it's early November now, and we're going to be heading into the holiday season soon, which is, you know, it's sometimes a time of joy, but sometimes it's a time of great challenges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will, of course, be seeing family and that kind of thing. And we today just wanted to dig into this really great subject, this concept of loving the people we love more. And we thought of this because I remember you asked this question. It was a while ago, but I remember you were talking about something that you read or something, and that there was this question you were focusing on toward the people you love. You were thinking, how can I love you more?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, too, because I was racking my brain, like, where did I hear that from? And it's such a simple concept, right? But it really blew my mind. I felt like, wow, that's so ingenious, right? Because, you know, I never really thought about asking someone what I could do to make them feel more loved by me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's I think, kind of the key is asking them.
Yes, of course. You know, it's funny because I remember years and years and years ago when I was doing training and development, kind of focusing on the whole concept of the golden rule versus the platinum rule, right? Mm-hmm. And so the golden rule is what we hear all the time, right? Treat people the way you want to be treated. But the fact is, what we should be focusing on is the platinum rule. Treat people the way they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And it really is a very different way of navigating through life because we're not all the same, you know? And what feels like love to you might be different than what feels like love to me.
Well, and I think we get stuck in patterns, like with people that are our family members. partners or close friends, where it's like, you know, we just get stuck in a pattern and we don't take that step back to say, you know, well okay, if this relationship isn't, I mean, what relationship is perfect, you know, but how can I love you more is really a question that leads to, so we can all benefit.
Right. Of course.
It's for you, but it's for me too.
Right. Right. You want to make sure that the other person knows how much you love them. Right. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that the actions or the words that you're saying are actually feeling like love to them.
And can you imagine being on the receiving end of that question from someone you love? If they came to you and said, you know, I really want to know how I can love you more.
Yeah. Well, I asked my kids and they were like, no, you're doing fine, Mom. Which was lovely.
And we know what our husbands would say.
Right. Let's not go there. That's so funny.
Okay. Well, I've got a real quick, easy answer for that one.
Gosh. Okay. Back on track. You know, but the other thing is, as you were saying about, you know, how we get into these routines and ruts, I think the other thing is we don't account for growth. People change over the course of their lifetime, right? And so the longer we're in a relationship with somebody, they change, we change, and you know, you want to make sure you're staying up to date on that. And you know, I'm thinking right now about my kids. So my youngest daughter, when she was little, really liked physical touch. Like, she was a hugger and she wanted to sit really close to you and she wanted to be on your lap and she wanted you laying in the bed next to her. Now she's like, don't touch me.
Yes.
Like, don't, you know, and I think that is sort of typical of teenagers, but at the same time, her personality has shifted, you know, and she's just not as comfortable with physical touch as she used to be. And it's hard as a mom to flip that switch, right? Because of course they're your child and you want to hook them. Yeah. And when she's sad, like, I just want to pull her close. And she's like, don't do that. Yeah. I don't like that. And I'm like, oh, but you used to like it.
Yeah. Well, and you and I also are trying to figure out how we love our adult children in the way they want us to love them, not the way we want to love them.
Yeah. Like, like put them in a cage and not let them out.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you gave me that Jay Shetty book, Think Like a Monk, a while ago. And, you know, I found a really, really cool quote from there about this subject. And he says, to live intentionally, we must dig to the deepest why behind the want. This requires pausing to think not only about why we want something, but also who we are and need to be to get it, and whether being that person appeals to us. And I took that as meaning, you know, again, that by asking how can I love you more, it's not just for them, it's for you too.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talks a lot about living intentionally, and he says that fear, desire, duty, and love are the roots of all intention. And, you know, so to my mind, you know, this question is just right there under the heading of love.
Yeah, of course it is. And, you know, wow, that was really powerful. He is so thought-provoking. Everything he says is just like, wait a minute, I have to consume that, and then I have to contemplate it for like a day before I can even respond.
I have to read it 16 times.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that was, you know, really, really powerful. And, you know, it's interesting because another book that we both read and refer to quite often are The Love Languages, right?
Yes.
And sort of that same sort of concept of getting to know yourself. But I like what you just said about what Jay Shetty said about the why behind the want, right? Because I think that that is where the nugget really is, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, oh, okay, if I want maybe more physical connection, or, you know, I want more physical touch, why? What is it that within that touch that's serving me, and why do I need that? You know, what's lacking in me that has that need? And I know lacking makes it sound like it's a bad thing. Like, there's nothing bad about it, but it's just understanding what's at the root of it.
Well, and if you're referring to your daughter, because my daughter, my youngest, is a year older than your youngest, and I'm going through the same exact thing. Yeah. And I think because they're growing up, they're spreading their wings, they're separating from us, and we want to pull them back, like you said, you know, and but it's the right, the why behind the want.
Yeah,
we can't, you know, even if we hug them the entire time they were home, it's still not going to change that they're going out into the big scary world without us, kind of a feeling, you know.
Yes. You know, it's funny, I don't know if this is even on topic here, but I thought I didn't really share this with you. I mean, I shared with you about how I had that horrific neck pain mm-hmm. after dropping my daughter off at college. Well, I went and I was sort of digging into Louise Hay's work because she talks about sort of how things settle into your body. And so I was like, okay, what does it mean when you have neck pain? And what does it say? You're looking back.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so spot on.
Wow.
You know, it's like you just said, like, we just sort of want to hold on to those years when they were younger and they were really enjoyed snuggling with us and, you know, being close to us. And now they, you know, as they should, are spreading their wings and flying. But we're just, I'll say I am just like holding on to the past, you know, looking back constantly. And now my body's like, okay, you need to stop doing that.
I stop at the stop sign
and I can't turn my head left and right. I have to turn my whole body because my neck is like, that's not happening. You're not turning back anymore.
Wow. That is a really insightful, you know, thought though.
Yeah. I love her work. And you know, just
amazing.
Like Jay Shetty, like really thought provoking.
Yeah. Just one second. I just need to thank Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets. Do you like the cats or dogs better?
You know, that is so funny because just even in general in life, like, because we have cats and dogs, right?
Yeah.
And so it's always the big debate in our house. Are you a cat person or a dog person? I'm like, why can't I just be both? Why do I have to pick? I like both.
Well, you can get one of each then.
That's right.
With the special Wisdom Coalition coupon, Wisdom 15 gets you 15% off these animatronic realistic pets that look and feel like real cats and dogs. And we know they're designed to really help lonely seniors, which is an awesome thing. And they've done a lot of research into that these pets really work to help them out. So go to joyforall.com for more information. You know, another thing that you know, I was thinking about when we were developing this idea for this podcast is, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's like, what is my responsibility to propel this relationship? Just like when we at the Wisdom Coalition talk about, you know, positive psychology, how can I thrive instead of just survive? It's the same with a relationship, with a marriage, with your parents or with your children. Like, yeah, we can just get through this, but how can we make it thrive?
Right. And taking ownership of that, you're right. Because I do think that oftentimes, you know, in a romantic relationship, we can find ourselves in that sort of like, you know, blame state, right? Like, oh, well, he, she, they, you know, aren't doing their part, right? Okay, what is my responsibility? What's the part that I am doing, you know, in or not doing to help, you know, our relationship move forward?
Yeah. And what am I putting in versus what am I getting out?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, and so true. And that's the thing too, when it comes to giving, right? Whether it's love or attention or words of appreciation, whatever it is, it's giving for the sake of giving, not giving because you want to get right, something in return. Because I think that that's oftentimes what happens, what sort of maybe creates some discord in relationships is, you know, you're giving because you're hoping that it will then result in you receiving something, but without sort of having a conversation about that or discussing what your expectations are, you know, a lot of times it can go, you know, not the way you want it to, right? You're like, oh, okay, well, I went and did this for you because I thought that would make you do this for me, but you didn't. And they're like, well, I didn't know you wanted that.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I guess if we ask somebody this question, we have to be prepared for what they want. For example, you know, how can I love you more? What if somebody says, well, I need, you know, your forgiveness over XYZ? You know?
Yeah. Well,
I think we have to be kind of open to what they might say back.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that is an opening up the dialogue of, okay, that you're right. That probably would be helpful. How do we work towards that? You know, because again, that could also require the person who's now asking for that to own their responsibility in that, right? Okay. Well, let's talk about this. If I'm going to forgive you, then I'm going to need you to do this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought about that because, you know, I'm always reading, it's ridiculous. I'm always reading like four books at the same time. my husband's always like, what are you reading? I'm like, well, six books, you know, and they're like stacked on my nightstand. But I picked up this book at like a book exchange. It's called The Sunflower by Simon Wiesenthal. Mm. And I know it's used a lot in academia. It was published, first of all, back in 1969. But basically, he's a Holocaust survivor. And he talks about while he was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp, he was taken to the bedside of a dying SS soldier. And this soldier asked him for forgiveness for the atrocities that he had committed against other Jewish people. Mm. And so the book is about how he felt about it, but then they have like 53 different people, including the Dalai Lama, weigh in on this question of would you have forgiven the soldier or not? Mm. Now, that's a huge moral question that, you know, takes a look at a lot of things, but I do think that it's just an interesting idea that I think forgiveness is a big part of what we can, how we can love people more, because we hold grudges.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And we're keeping score, you know, a lot of times. And it's, you know, that is not obviously the right environment for a thriving relationship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've also talked a lot about forgiveness, how for the most part, forgiveness is for the forgiver. You know, right. You're the one who's going to get the greatest benefit out of forgiving, because you're holding on so tightly to that pain that it is, you know, creating dis-ease in your body.
Yeah. And another aspect I think is really important of asking how can I love you more is loving yourself first.
Yeah. You know, which again is the topic we talk a lot about, self-love and how hard that is, right? It's so easy to profess, so hard to practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course we understand the concept of self-love and what it requires of us. But I think recognizing, like you said, the benefit of it in terms of the impact it will have on all of your other relationships, not just on sort of calming down that inner critic or that negative stinking thinking, whatever you want to call it, that goes on in your inside yourself, but also the way you project that out into every relationship you have.
Because I think to ask a question like, how can I love you more? It takes some courage, because in a way you could get defensive based on the person's answer. Well, I already do that. Well, I'm good at that. I already, you know what I'm saying? So you have to have, I think, a certain element of, have done some work on yourself to be able to be like, I'm confident enough in myself to be open-minded about what the answer to that question might be without being defensive about it.
Yes. Yeah. Gosh, that's so true. I hadn't even really thought about it that way. And you're right, you know, because I do think that that is just human nature, right? To sort of jump down like, oh, you don't think I'm doing X, Y, or Z? Right. Well, you're not doing X, Y, or Z either. And, and on top of that, you're not also doing A, B, and C.
Right.
So it could spiral in the opposite direction of obviously your intention of asking the question. But yeah, I think being open to that and also using it as, you know, sort of a gateway into self-development too, you know, and self-discovery. Like a lot of times we don't know how other people view us, right? Yeah. And so when you say that and you open the door to that, being, you know, sort of open to hearing, like you said, what they say in return and taking that in to say, oh, okay, maybe I think I'm doing this, but it's not being received that way. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously a disconnect there. That rather than getting defensive, trying to figure out, you know, how you might, you know, sort of shift the way you behave that would enable the other person to feel what your intention is.
Well, and when we were talking about this and developing this, I tried this on a person in my life and I didn't ask them, but I thought it to myself. Mm. I thought to myself, you know, how can I love this person more? Like, what can, am I bringing my full self, my full effort to this relationship? And in my mind, I was like, you know, I'm not. So I thought to myself, like, how can I love you more? But I didn't say it to that person. And I think that's a good first step too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's like you're sort of raising your internal bar, right?
You know, like,
okay, I want to be a better person. Mm-hmm. I want to hold myself to a higher standard in this relationship. And regardless of what the other person's thinking, seeing, doing. You know, I just want to know that I'm loving you with my whole heart. That's beautiful.
Hey, thanks.
Well, and I was also thinking, you know, to your point about the self-love, we could say that to ourselves, how can I love me more? Mm. Right?
Yes.
Flip that around. And
oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Because we could all really use that.
Yeah. Mm, that that's challenging. All right. Yeah. Well, that's another one of those things we'll have to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love this concept and I love this question. And I wish we could figure out where you got it because it is.
Well, a little really Google cool. search might help. Yeah. Maybe I'll go and search it up on the internet and see if I can find where it started.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful concept, and we encourage you all to give it a try with the people in your life and also with yourself.
Yeah,
and
let us know how you do.
Yeah.
That would be fun to read some of those emails.
Yeah, we would love that.
Yeah. All right, but I think that's all we have time for.
Yes.
Thanks again to our awesome sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets, providing joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to aging loved ones and peace of mind to their families. Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
And until next time, remember, stay connected to your why, feel your core energy with joy, and live your life from the inside out.
Thanks for listening. We hope you find some joy today.